All right. Let's build a hot pan style jungle percussion layer in Ableton Live 12, and more importantly, let's make it sit properly around your break and your bass instead of fighting them. This is one of those classic DNB edit moves that looks simple on the surface, but it teaches you a lot. You're taking a recognizable funk percussion phrase, tightening it up, carving out the muddy stuff, shaping the attack, and then arranging it so it adds swing, energy, and that gritty jungle attitude. The big idea here is not to make a sample sound amazing by itself. The goal is to make it work inside a real drum and bass arrangement. So first, before we even touch the sample, let's get the context in place. Set your tempo to 170 BPM. Then load or build a simple drum foundation. Kick on the main downbeats, snare on 2 and 4, and if you've got a breakbeat or ghost notes underneath, even better. Keep it simple for now. In DNB, you want to hear how the percussion behaves against the snare crack, the break swing, and the bass movement. If you edit the sample in isolation, it's easy to overprocess it and lose the groove. If you've got a reference loop, mute everything except drums and sub. That gives you a clean space to make decisions. And one quick coach note here, always watch the snare relationship first. The snare is the anchor in jungle and DNB. If your percussion layer starts stealing attention from the backbeat, it's too loud or too dense. Now bring in your hot pan style sample. You can drag it onto a MIDI track and let Ableton create simpler, which is usually the easiest path for beginners. Or you can work with it on an audio track. But simpler gives you a very visual, very friendly way to trim and trigger the sample. Inside simpler, start with classic mode. Turn warp on. If the sample feels more like a punchy drum phrase, use beats warp mode. If it's more like a full loop with more complex movement, complex can work. Then zoom in and make sure the sample starts cleanly on the transient. This matters a lot. In jungle edits, even a tiny bit of slop at the front can make the loop feel late or lazy at 170 BPM. Use the clip gain or the sample gain first if the source is hot. That's a really important beginner habit. Use sample level before plugin gain whenever possible. It keeps your EQ and transient decisions more predictable later. Now think of the sample as a rhythmic toolkit, not just a loop. Find 2 to 4 strong accents in the phrase. You can trigger them manually in simpler, or if you want more control, right-click and slice the sample to a new MIDI track. For a beginner workflow, just build a short one-bar pattern first. Put the strongest hit on beat 1. Drop a syncopated hit before beat 2. Leave space where the snare needs to breathe, and then maybe add a pickup at the end of the bar. That's the jungle mindset right there. Phrase the percussion like a fill, not like a constant wash. Next up, we carve it. This is where the sample starts making room for the rest of the track. Add EQ 8 after simpler. High pass it somewhere around 120 to 200 HC, depending on the sample. If it's got a lot of mud or leftover body, push the high pass a little higher. Then listen for boxiness in the 250 to 500 HC area and cut a little if needed. If the sample feels harsh or glassy, try a gentle dip around 3 to 6 kHz, and if it really needs a touch of air, you can add a tiny high shelf above 8 or 10 kHz, but be careful. It's very easy to overdo that and make the layer fight your hats or ride. The key thing to remember is this. You are not trying to make the sample huge on its own. You are trying to make it fit around the break and the sub. Low end is sacred in DNB. Your sub needs a clean monozone, and your snare needs impact. If your percussion layer carries too much low mid energy, it'll blur the groove and actually make the drop feel smaller. Now let's shape the feel. Add drum bus after EQ 8. Start gently. A little drive, maybe 5 to 15%. Use the transient control to add a bit more bite if the sample feels flat, or reduce it if the sample is too spiky. Usually you can leave boom off for this kind of layer, or keep it extremely subtle. A little crunch can add texture if you want that worn jungle edge. This is not about distortion for its own sake. It's about giving the edits some attitude and making the transients feel intentional. If the sample starts to feel harsh, back off the transient shaping and tame the top end with EQ instead. Now we add groove. This is where the thing stops sounding like a static loop. If you're using MIDI notes, shorten a few note lengths so the offbeats breathe. You can also use Ableton's groove pool if you want a bit of swing from a breakbeat style groove. Another easy move is to duplicate your one bar loop into 2 bars. And on the second bar, change 1 accent, remove 1 hit, or nudge a note slightly late. That tiny change can make a huge difference. That's a really important lesson in DNB. You do not always need more notes. Sometimes the groove gets better because you remove one. Next, Manage the width. Drop a utility after your processing and start around 100% width. If the sample competes with your hats or feels too spread out, narrow it to somewhere around 70 to 90% and hit mono for a quick check. If the groove still works in mono, you're in a good place. If it falls apart, the sample may be relying too much on stereo fluff. In D&B, width should support the mix, not smear it. Keep the center clean for kick, snare, and sub. Your percussion layer can be a little wider, but only if it stays out of the way. Now let's arrange it like an edit, because that's where this really becomes useful. Don't leave the hot pants layer looping and changed for the whole track. That's the beginner trap. Instead, think in sections. In the intro, keep it filtered and quiet, just teasing the rhythm. In the pre-drop, bring in more of the phrase. In the first drop, let it support the groove more clearly, but still leave room around the snare and bass. Then in the second drop or switch up, change the phrasing. Remove one hit. Add a fill. Use a little pause. Make the listener feel the section change. A really simple 8-bar idea could be this. Bars 1 and 2 are high passed and low in the mix. Bars 3 and 4 bring in the fuller phrase. Bar 5 mutes one accent for tension. Bar 6 adds a small fill, and bars 7 and 8 thin it out again before the next phrase. That kind of arrangement thinking matters a lot in drum and bass, because varination usually comes from removing and reintroducing elements, not from constantly rewriting everything. You can also add a bit of automation to make the layer breathe. Auto filter is great here. Try starting with the filter more closed in the intro and opening it up into the drop. You could also automate the EQ8 high pass frequency, but auto filter is usually faster and more musical for this. Another easy move is to automate utility width so the layer is narrower in the busy drop and wider in a transition. Or give the last hit of a phrase a little extra reverb send, then pull it back immediately after. Just one or two moves is enough. A lot of beginners think automation needs to be dramatic to matter. Not true. The best edits often feel produced because they change at the phrase level, not because they're covered in effects. Now do the real test. Listen to the whole groove together. Ask yourself a few simple questions. Is the percussion masking the snare? Is the bass still clear and mono? Does the layer add energy without making the top end harsh? Does the edit still groove when the bass enters? And if you listen at low volume, can you still feel the shape of the layer? That low volume check is a great teacher trick. If the percussion still reads quietly, it's probably carved well. If it disappears completely, it may be too thin. If it jumps out too much, it's probably too loud or too bright. Here's another useful habit. Check the layer with the hats muted. If the hot pants sample only works because it's hiding behind a hat pattern, then it's not really doing its own job. It should be a complementary rhythm, not a crutch. A few common mistakes to avoid. Don't leave too much low end in the sample. Don't make the edit too loud. Don't use the full sample all the time. Don't ignore the snare. Don't keep the same phrase running forever. And don't overprocess before you've already trimmed, timed, and eked the sample properly. If you want a darker, heavier D&B feel, high pass even more than you think you need to. Let the sub own the bottom end. Use drum bus lightly for grit. And if the layer needs just a little extra bite, a tiny amount of saturator drive can help it show up on smaller speakers. Keep it subtle though. You want presence, not brittle top end noise. For arrangement, one really effective trick is to use the percussion layer as a phrase marker. Bring it in at the start of an 8-bar section. Pull it back before a bass change, and then let it return for the next section. You can also use the last bar of each phrase as your signature bar. Keep bars 1 to 3 steady, then make bar 4 special with a mute, fill, or twist. That's one of the easiest ways to avoid loop fatigue. If you want a quick challenge, build two versions of the layer. One version should be your support layer, tight, filtered, narrow, and sitting behind the break. The other should be your transition layer, a little more drive, a little more movement, maybe slightly wider, with a filter sweep or a reverb throw. Then arrange both across 16 bars. 4 bars intro, 4 bars first drop support, 4 bars variation, and 4 bars outro or turnaround. That exercise will teach you a lot about how edit layers actually function in a track. They're not there to be the star. They're there to add rhythmic glue, movement, and character while leaving the kick, snare, and bass in charge. So the big takeaway is this. Trim it tightly. Carve out the mud. Shape the transients lightly. Keep it rhythmically alive, and arrange it in phrases rather than just letting it loop. If you do that, your hot pants jungle percussion layer stops being a sample and starts becoming a proper D&B production tool. And honestly, that's the move. Keep it clean. Keep it controlled, and keep it phrase aware. Once you get this workflow under your fingers, you'll start hearing places for it everywhere in your tracks.